Numbers chapter 35 and verse 33, please. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are. For the blood, watch it, for blood, it says, it defileth the land. Now I want you to understand, when he's talking about the land here, it's not just talking about a piece of property, but he's talking about the people that take residence in the land. The Bible says, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein. But by the blood, listen to what it says, of him that shed it. Look down in verse 34. It says, defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. And it's talking about here not defiling the land by blood, not defiling the land by taking another person's life. Now, I'm going to say some things tonight that might be kind of sharp, and so I want you to kind of get a grip on some of the things I'm going to say, because this is not, with God, a gray issue. This is an issue that's just straight from the Bible, and we have to understand that when God says something straight from the Bible, then you ought to take it straight to your heart and obey what God says. On average, they say, by the way, I was born 1961. It's really not that bad. How many was born in 1961? Would you raise your hand? Look at all of us wise people. I was born in 1961, and in 1960, 1 year before I was born, there was only 8,000 murders in the United States of America. Over the past 12 years, however, it has escalated far beyond compare. Matter of fact, over the past 12 years, it has not gone under 22,000 murders a year in the United States of America. I really believe that you're going to see some things tonight about why that's taking place. You know, there's an average right now, if you average the years together, and starting back in 1975 and forward, you'll see that there's an average of 20,000 murders per year. Now, let me give you some statistics about this. Out of those 20,000 murders a year, 15,000 people are arrested. Out of the 15,000 people that are arrested, there's 14,000 murder cases that are actually taken to court. Now, listen to this. This is just incredible. Out of the 14,000 cases that are taken to court, there's 10,000 convictions. Out of the 10,000 convictions that are handed out, there's 125 death penalty sentences that are handed out. Right now, in the United States of America, there's 33 states that believe and practice the death penalty. My home state, where I came from, the state of Maryland, practices the death penalty. By the way, the state of Texas practices the death penalty. Let me give you some things to think about. I was going to have Mrs. Cavanaugh. What I do is I type up the sermon, and then I'll have her to type up the outline that you get out. But let me give you some things to think about here. The number of executions since 1976. Since 1976, the total number of executions held, the highest number of executions held, has been by the state of Texas, 482. In the year 2011, Texas had the highest executions with 14, and already in 2012, the highest with 5. Virginia, since 1976, has 109 executions, has also had one in 2011 and none in 2012. Oklahoma has had 99 executions, two in 2011 and three in 2012. Florida has had 73 executions since 1976, two in 2011 and two in 2012. Missouri has had 68 since 1976. There's been one in 2011 and zero in 2012. Alabama has had 55, and six of those, of course, was in 2011. And I could go all the way down the sheet. I've got every single one of the states listed here as to what they have done as far as the death penalty. Since 1976, you think about this, the South has had 1,062. The Midwest has had 151. The West has had 78. The Northeast has had 4. And just in Texas and Virginia, conglomerating those two together, 591. The number of executions, of course, since 1976, and I'm going to tell you why I'm reading this in just a moment, but in 1976, there was zero executions. 1977, for the nation, there was one. 1978, there was zero. 1979, there was two. 1980, there was zero. 1981, for the nation, there was one. 1982, there was two. 1983, there was five. 1984, there was 21. And then it gets higher, then it dips off again. You say, well, preacher, what is the reason for reading that? Well, let me just give you some things to think about. Capital punishment is a deterrent of committing such crimes. I want us to think about some things here. And execution declines, the murders increase. 1957, there was 56 executions, and there was 8,000 people murdered that year. 1975, there was 76 executions, and there was 7,000 people murdered that year. Now, by the way, what that means is there was 20 executions, and 20 executions saved 1,000 lives. Think about it. 1972, there was no executions, and there was 18,000 people murdered that year. 1977, there was only one execution. There was 19,000 people murdered that year. 1978, there was no executions, and there was 19,500 people murdered that year. A man that studied this by the name of Isaac Leage said this, and he's at the University of Chicago. He said this. He said, if the death penalty was really enforced, 8 murders would be prevented for every one execution that was handed out. Other studies show that it could be as many as 50 lives saved for one execution that's been handed out. Capital punishment, according to the Bible, is not a means for revenge, but rather it's a means of punishment that God himself has handed down. The Bible teaches if a man takes a life, then he should have his own life forfeited. The death penalty is, of course, an exercise by the civil authorities. And let me show you some things. Let's just run it through the Bible, if we can. Go to Genesis chapter 9, will you please? Genesis chapter 9, look at verse 4. Here's what the Bible teaches. We're going to see statement number 1. Statement number 1, the Old Testament teaches capital punishment. The Old Testament teaches capital punishment. Now let me say this. For those of you tonight that are relatively older, and you already have these things established in your mind, may I say the information that you get ought to be information that you share with somebody else to get it established in their mind. May I also say tonight, for those of you that's a little bit younger and you really don't know anything about what we're talking about tonight, I'd file the notes away because one day somebody's going to ask you. For those of you that are teenagers, the Bible says that you ought to be able to give an answer for the hope that lieth within you. And so you ought to be able to give a reasonable answer to every person that asks you a Bible question. So I would take notes and understand. Statement number 1, I said the Old Testament teaches capital punishment. Capital punishment was originated by God. It wasn't originated by man. It was originated by God. Genesis chapter 9 and in verse 4, the Bible says, but flesh with life thereof, it says, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 5, the Bible says, and surely your blood, and it says, of your lives will I require it. The hand of every beast will I require it. The hand of every man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require a man's life. All right? So what is he teaching in this particular passage? Here's what he's saying. In this passage, it makes it very, very clear that if a man takes the life of another man, then his life, according to Scripture, is also required. Matter of fact, here's what the Bible says in this particular verse, in verse 5 in Genesis chapter 9. He says we need to understand that if a man has a beast and the beast kills another man, then that man, of course, that's like having a weapon, and that man's life would be required. Okay, if the beast kills a beast, then the beast's life would be required. Okay, so we understand this, that God does have a pretty strong opinion on it. God gave us a Bible. And by the way, we're supposed to open our Bible and we're supposed to obey our Bible. God is not really interested in our opinion. What he is interested in is your obedience. He's not really interested. You know, let me tell you what an opinion is. An opinion is one man's commentary. And by the way, most men that have an opinion should keep their book closed, because it's really not worth reading. It is good for us to open the Bible and see exactly what God has to say. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Whosoever sheddeth a man's blood, by," it says, "man shall his blood be shed." It says, "For," it says, "the image of God made he man." All right? So he's saying that you and I are made in his image. You and I are made in the very image of God. So what does it do? It disrespects God when one man takes another man's life, because you're destroying an image of God that God himself has created. Someone said this. They say, well, you know, if you're not supposed to kill, then why is it that when somebody gets killed, why is it right to kill someone? I mean, why is it right to kill someone that has killed somebody else? Why is that right? Well, here's what the Bible teaches. God talks about how that the government has that which is the law, and the law should be enforced. And it uses the word avenger or revenger. Now, no man should take revenge on another, but listen to what your Bible says. Numbers chapter 35 and verse 27, the Bible says, the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer. Now, watch what it says here. And he shall not be guilty of blood. Now, who is this revenger? The revenger was sort of like somebody that went around as a bounty hunter. And what they would do is they would find that person and they would bring them back for judgment. They would bring them back to appear before a court, and they would have the right to be able to give witness or proof that they did not commit the crime or the murder or the wrong. Now, if they could not prove that, then they would pay for the penalty, and the penalty they would pay with would be that which was their life, according to the Bible. You know, many laws that we have today was first established in the Word of God. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 35 and verse 31, moreover, it says, "Ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer," says, "which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death." All right, so we see that God lays some rules, God lays some laws down in the Word of God. So the death penalty was given, but the death penalty was only given by that which was valid witnesses. Now listen to it. Those witnesses had to be two or more. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 6, the Bible says that the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he, it says, that is worthy of death, be put, it says, to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. All right, so what would happen is the revenger would go out, he would find that person, even if the person was in the city of refuge. Now, what is the city of refuge about? The city of refuge was a place that if somebody was killed by accident and they wanted protection, it's almost like a government protection area, what they would do is they would flee to the city of refuge. All right, now if the revenger came out, which was sent out to be able to bring that person back for that which was a trial, then that person would come back. And if it was established by two or three witnesses that his guilt was sure, then his life would be taken. But it had to be established. In other words, it was a court hearing. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 7, the Bible says, "The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards his hands of all the people. So thou shalt put," it says, "the evil away from among you." All right, now here's the problem. The problem that we have is we are so passive now in America that if somebody does something wrong, we don't want to stand up and say that's wrong. We just want to pacify them. We want to give them a little pacifier. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And so therefore, what's happening to our society is going down, down, down. when the Bible has some definite principles to teach. Let me think you, get you to think on these things with me, if you will. A person could not be put to death over just one person's witness. So a person could not be carried into a court, one person stand up, and that's one person's word against another person's word. You know, the Bible teaches among two or three witnesses to let every truth be founded, or let every truth be established, all right? And here's what the Bible says. Numbers chapter 35 and in verse 30, the Bible says, whosoever killeth, it says, any person, it says, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. Now, there's the plurality there. Of witnesses, not of a witness. It says, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. All right, so if somebody came in and it was one witness against another person, then it would be disbelief. It would be null and void. There had to be two or more witnesses to establish a truth. So statement number one, here's what I said. I said the Old Testament teaches capital punishment. Statement number two, God makes a distinction between premeditated murder and accidental killing. He makes a distinction between premeditated murder and accidental killing. The book of Exodus chapter 21 and verse 12 says this, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. All right, now, wait a minute. He that smiteth a man, what does that mean? That means you go after the man intentionally, to smite the man. All right, wait a minute. Exodus chapter 21, verse 13, the Bible says, and if a man not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint thee, it says, a place, thither he shall flee. All right, so here's a man that doesn't go after to smite somebody deliberately, but God said, here's what I'm going to do. If it was something that took place and it was not something, not somebody lying in wait, waiting for somebody, sort of like somebody hiding behind a tree, and you're waiting for somebody to come down that path so that you can jump out and smite that person. He said, this is not the case. He said, but if a person does get smitten, if a person is killed, and it's not somebody waiting for them to be killed, luring them, trying to kill them, he said, then that person, what I'm going to do is I'm going to provide them a place to flee. All right, notice this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. Look at Exodus chapter 21 and verse 14. The Bible says, and if a man come, it says, presumptuously upon his neighbor, and he slay him with guile. Now, what is that talking about? All right, so here somebody comes upon his neighbor. The word guile is anger. So he comes upon a neighbor with anger. In other words, he is coming intentionally to do harm. So he's coming upon that neighbor with anger. The Bible says, thou shalt make him, it says, from mine altar. All right, thou shalt take him from mine altar. And it says that he may die. All right, so he said, here's a person who's coming with guile. Here's a person coming with the intent of killing. And he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take him away. What's going to happen? There's going to be a death that's going to be there. All right, but here's a person, watch this, that doesn't do that. Numbers chapter 35, verse 15, the Bible says, the six cities shall be a refuge, it says, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person, watch what it says, unawares, killeth any person unawares, may flee thither. All right, so how do you kill a person unawares? Well, the Bible talks about that's not intentional. It's not something that's premeditated. It's an accidental killing. So it's not something that has been planned out, but yet it happens unawares. Okay? God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to supply you a place, a refuge place that you can run to so that you're not going to be killed because of the fact that this was done something unawares. Look at Numbers chapter 35 and verse 16. The Bible says, if he smite him, it says an instrument of iron. Okay, now he's talking about something else. Here's a guy got an instrument of iron. So that he die, he is a murderer, and the murder shall surely be put to death. So here's an intent to kill. He's got an iron in his hand. He's going after somebody to kill them. All right, he kills somebody with that iron in his hand, and God said, I'm going to require your life just like you took his life. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, and if he smite him with a throwing a stone, okay, so here he is, he smites him it says, with throwing a stone. So he smites a man. The Bible says, it says, listen to it now, wherewith he may die, it says, and he die. He says he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. All right, so here's a man that has an iron in his hand. He goes up, and he clubs somebody. He said, all right, you took his life, and now I'm going to require your life. All right, here's a man goes up and he's got a stone and it's with intent. He takes that stone and he heaves it at somebody and it kills that person. God said, the same resolve that has happened is going to be that which I bring upon you. And it gives illustration. If you want to read your Bible, Numbers chapter 35, and it'd be good for some of us to read our Bible, Numbers chapter 35, verses 18 through 25, it talks about premeditated murder. All down there, it gives these illustrations, okay, about how somebody premeditates something, they step out, they do it, and God said, then what I'm going to do, if you take somebody's life with intent, it's premeditated, then I am going to take your life. All right, so here's what we see. In the Old Testament, it teaches capital punishment. God also teaches that there is a distinct difference between that which is premeditated murder and accidental killing. Let's look at the New Testament. The New Testament teaches capital punishment. Now, we're moving closer to our society. I want you to notice this, that Paul was sentenced to death. All right, so there was capital punishment in place during the time of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 25 and verse 10, it says, then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong, as, watch it, thou very well know. All right, so he said, I'm standing here before a Caesar's place, and I'm standing here in judgment. I know that. Watch what he says in verse 11. He says, for if I be an offender or have committed anything wrong, says, of death, wrongly worthy of death. All right, so he says that if I've committed anything worthy of death. All right, so during those days, there was the time of the death penalty. Paul is saying, he's acknowledging, if I've done anything worthy of death, that means that there was things back then that was worthy of death. All right, so in the New Testament, we understand this, that there was capital punishment. The government is to execute the judgment. Look at Romans chapter 13, verse 4. The Bible says he's a minister of God. It says, watch it, to thee for good. Okay, so the government is supposed to do some things that is good for us. Don't you wish that was true today? The Bible says, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth, it says, not a sword in vain. So the sword was not bore in vain. When Peter was walking around with a sword, there was a reason for him to have that sword. See, a sword back then was like a gun today. It was a protectionary tool. All right? He said, now, those that bore the sword back then was not bearing it in vain. Says he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, if you'll read your scriptures, you're going to find out Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, is talking about that authority lies within the hands of a civil government. So what is the civil government supposed to do? They are supposed to protect you. The police are supposed to protect you. Those that are involved in our government agencies, they are supposed to protect you. Now, they're also supposed to be doing good unto you. All right, the Bible teaches, let me give you just a couple more thoughts here, and let me give you a list of things which God has pronounced the death penalty. All right, statement number one, premeditated murder. God himself, in his Bible, pronounced the death penalty for premeditated murder. Numbers chapter 35 and verse 20, the Bible says, and if he thrust him out, it says of hatred, or hurl him by lying of wait that he die. Now watch what it says. The Bible says in verse 21, or in enmity smite, it says, him with his hand that he die. The Bible says that he smote him shall surely be put to death. Now it comes down here and it says, and he is a murderer, it says the revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. All right, so here's a person that commits a murder, and he's on the run. So government agents, if you will, those that are sent out to find him. And when they find him, they're going to bring him back for a rightful judgment. But if he tries to give more hurt, of course, then they're going to take care of him just like they would take care of any fugitive. But here's what the Bible teaches here. God says that premeditated murder, that is part of having the death penalty in place. Kidnapping an individual or a child was also the death penalty. All right, here's what God says. Exodus chapter 21, verse 16. The Bible says, he that stealeth a man or selleth him, or he that found, it says, in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. All right? And so, by the way, may I remind you where our church is located tonight? We're right here. 635 is right down here. And you know, someday you're going to let your child run around the parking lot, and he's going to wind up missing. That's why we tell the parents, and we always say, look, when you go out, if your child has to go out, then you go out with your child. Don't let your child go out in the hallway by themselves. By the way, how do you know they're going to stop it going out into the hallway? How do you know just a couple weeks ago, one of your children, was wandering around, made it outside into the parking lot. One of your children. Now, you better keep better eyes on your children than that. Don't let your children wander around. You say, well, you know, I trust so-and-so. You better make sure that so-and-so is trustworthy. It would be, I'm telling you, you'd have sleepless nights if somebody kidnapped your child. We were in New York City many years ago. We lived in the city. Mrs. Wells could tell you how many times we'd open up a paper and we'd see that this child was taken and this child was taken and this child was taken, and it was a normal thing, and they were sold on the black market. Now, I'm telling you tonight that you be careful about your children. And children, you obey your parents. If your parents tell you to sit down in a pew and stay there till they return, then you obey your parents. If your parents say you sit on a step and don't move until I get back, then you sit on that step and you don't move until they get back. But you obey your parents. We don't want somebody to take you. Now, I'm not trying to scare you tonight, but we are living in a real world tonight. And you better be careful about your children. Here's what the Bible says about those that went under the death penalty, those that committed a premeditated murder, those that kidnapped someone. A witch was put to death. Listen to it. Exodus chapter 22, verse 18, thou shalt not suffer. How can it get any more plain than this? Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. All right, so in Bible days, or you listen to me, in the days when these were instituted, then a witch would be put to death. Oh, you say, preacher, I tell you what, you're giving me ammo tonight. Let me show you some things, though, about who's supposed to do all these things. By the way, you're not supposed to go on some type of, you're not supposed to go nuts and say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a servant of the Lord. You're going to wind up under the jail, buddy, is what you're going to do. All right, a man that committed adultery, a woman that committed adultery was put to death. Hello? Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 20. By the way, some of you men, some of you ladies in here that have former lifestyles, you better thank God that God has given you other chances. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 20, the Bible says, if any man shall lie with his uncle's wife or uncovereth his uncle's nakedness, says, watch it now, they shall bear their sin, they shall die childless. All right? And so what happened is they were put to death. That's all it was to it. By the way, it wasn't up for discussion, it's just what happened. Now, by the way, when it's talking about here, think about this also. So if a man commits a wrong, and the Bible teaches in Exodus chapter 21, verses 22, 23, and 24, if a man committed wrong against a woman so that she would lose her own child, then that person's life was required then. You what that means for all these doctors that's performing abortions on all these little girls or anybody? Their life would be required of them. Wait a minute. If a man, think about this. If a man, according to Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 15, if a man lived with a beast, think about this, lived with a beast, and that beast, if you would please, went over and slayed another beast, then, of course, that beast's life would be required. If a man's beast went over and slayed another man, then the man's life would be required. I already covered that. Let's notice this. The nations have failed. What happens to the nations that fail? But nations who have failed to enforce the capital punishment, they can face judgment from God. And by the way, they not just can, but many times often will. You know, God says this, that it's not going to be punished, if you will, please, but God would take and punish the country. The country is not going to prosper if they just sit back and say, well, we're just going to flippantly let it go by. All right? Oh, I wish you'd get this tonight. Okay? Also, think about that. You can look up these Hosea chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verses 6 through 8. And then you'll see here that God is going to punish the land because things are permitted in the land. Let me give you statement number 6. Who is to enforce capital punishment? Well, first off, it's not supposed to be decided by man. It's supposed to be decided by God. So don't take it upon yourself that you're going to go out and you're going to be some vigilante that's going to go out and say, vengeance is mine, saith me, I will repay. That's not right. You let God use the ones that God himself has appointed. This is not supposed to be done by an individual. This is not supposed to be an act of revenge. It's an act of obedience to that which is the law. They should not be some self-appointed group like a lynch mob. Have you ever seen that on some of these old westerns? There's that poor sheriff inside, and all of a sudden there's a lynch mob outside, and they're coming. Okay, that's not right. Nobody, no group is supposed to take that into their own hands, period. It's a civil government that's supposed to carry out the punishment. In the Bible, that avenger was appointed, and that avenger, like that bounty hunter, would go out, and he was given the job to bring back that person that had committed the murder for justice. And they would stand before justice. And as they stood before that which was justice, by the way, those cities of courtesy back then was around that if a person had committed that which was a killing by accident, they could run to that city of refuge. And there they were safe. But even when that which was the avenger would come for them while they were in the city of refuge, they would always go with them to be able to establish the truth that they were right and did not commit the wrong. It is something that needs to be practiced. Well, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we just decided that we... Okay, here's what we saw. When capital punishment is practiced, the crime goes down. Let me give you an idea. You're going to think I'm mean, but I'm not mean. I'm just telling you how it is. In China, if you steal, they will cut your fingers off. What does that prevent? You will steal no more. You say, well, that's mean. Check out their crime rate compared to our crime rate. Hello. Oh, Brother Wells, I know what you're advocating. You're advocating that we should go out and cut people's fingers off. I am not, because some of you would be without them. So I'm not advocating that. What I am saying is this. I am saying, don't be afraid as to what the... And by the way, why would you be in fear if you're not in the wrong? here's what your Bible says in the book of Proverbs. The Bible says that the wicked flee when no man pursueth. And so if we're in the right, then there is no fear. Have you ever noticed this? I've noticed this. I'm driving along, minding my own business. And all of a sudden, there's a police car over there. Then these guys that just passed me doing 90 to nothing feel led of God to apply the brakes. But they apply them so quickly that now they've gone from 90 to 30 and the speed limit is 60. You know why? Because they knew they were wrong. And they knew the penalty was right there beside them. And so since they knew they was wrong, they knew there was a penalty, they said, I'm not going to do it. Years ago, and I close, when our kids were coming up, I told the story, I think, once before or twice. We had this sheet, piece of paper that was on the refrigerator. And said, when you run in church, you get X amount of spankings. If you tell a lie, X amount of spankings. If you roll your eyes at any adult, X amount of spankings. If you chewed gum in church, if you stole, no, not really. But it was there was a penalty. There was a punishment for the crime. My kids were growing up and they would go, especially my two older guys, they would go over to the refrigerator and they would look, Brother Christopher, they would look at the crime. Then they would look at the penalty. Then they look back at the crime. Then they look over at the penalty. Then they would look at each other. And then sometimes they would look up and scratch their heads, like, is it worth it? And here's what they would do. Brother Russell, Mrs. Russell, here's what they do. They'd shake their head like, no way, no way, not going to do it. And they'd just walk away. Okay? Now, I'm saying, oh, can I tell you the story? I got to tell you this. When they were, you're going to like this one. When they were little, you're going to like all my stories, but you're going to like this one. Brother Harris, when they were little, I'm telling on you guys, my two older guys, I think they were 4 and 5, 4 and 6, Sears. Yeah, about 4 or so. They went into Sears, Brother Moore, and they found these little paper clips. And, you know, not paper clips, these little plastic clips. And, you know, the type that they used to use to hold clothes on a hanger or something like that. They found them all over the floor. Dr. Smail, they picked them up and they put them in their pockets so much that it was bulging. We got in the car by the Lofton and we drove all the way back to our house. And I noticed that they were sitting kind of weird because they had these bulging pockets. So we walked into the living room and Brother Girardi, I told my boys, I said, what's in your pockets? And they said, well, you know, nothing. And I said, well, there's got to be something there. And I said, whatever the nothing is, pour it out on the floor. So they took their nothings out and poured it out on the floor. And boy, it was something. And I looked at them and I said, where'd you get it? They said, Sears. I said, we're going back. Put them back in your pockets. Why are we going back? We're going back. Put them back in your pockets. So they picked them up, put them in their pockets. They set Brother Nile in the van, and they're about your boy's age, and we're driving over the Sears. And I said, fellas, you stole. You stole. And I said, you know, when you steal, you go to jail. I said, and I'm taking you back, and you're going to face them. Oh, Daddy, no, no. I said, I'm going to miss you. You're going to jail. Oh, we don't want to go to jail. Yeah, I know I feel the same way. We went into the Sears department store. Well, I went over to the clothing part where they found them, and I tried. It was a men's department. And I went over to the men's department trying to find a real guy, a real man. Even back in that day, I couldn't find one. I mean, you know, these guys were walking around like Tweety Birds. And so I thought, I got to find somebody. It's got a semblance of manhood about him. So I found a guy in the shoe department. All real men hang out in the shoe department. Went over to the shoe department, and I found this guy. I mean, you know, he had a body, but he had no neck. I thought, this guy's going to be perfect. He had this real rough, Brother Croft, a real rough, masculine voice. And I thought, yeah. So I schooled him. Brother Moore, we're walking back over, and I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to scare the living daylights out of those boys. I want you to make them feel like they're going to prison and they're going to die. He said, I'm not kidding you. I mean, that was the guy. He didn't have much up here, but he had the body. He goes, he said, this is going to be fun. I said, man, don't blow it. I schooled him all the way over. We got over there, and I said, I want you to get a mean look on your face. I want you to go up. I want you to point that big old fat finger of yours in their chest. And I want you to tell them you stole it, and you're going to prison. You're going to rot. He goes, I said, don't do that in front of them. We got over there, and he walked up. And I mean, you know, these are little kids, Brother Wislowski. They're sitting in a chair. They're bawling their eyes out. They've already got a crowd. Everybody's coming up to them. What's wrong? We're going to jail. Why are you going to jail? We stole. And it's great. And so these two little boys are sitting up there, and here comes this big old moose of a guy walking over. Man, he's strutting like a man. He's walking over. I mean, you could feel the floor. And man, he's walking over, and he goes over there, and he looks at me and goes, ooh. I said, don't do that. He walks over, and he puts his finger in their chest and said, boys, you did wrong, and you're going to jail. And he looked back at me and goes, these boys, But then I told him, I said, look, once they understand it, forgive them. And tell them if you ever catch them again, it's over. And boy, you know, he did that. Those guys got in the van, and we were heading back home. I said, would you ever steal? No way. No. We would never, you know. And they never have. Well, thank God for that. One of these guys, I forget who it was. It is either him or the other one. Where's the other one? Where's Josh? Raise your hand. Where are you? Hi. But one of these guys, it was in a store right after that. And I forget if you can tell me afterwards or whatever. But one of these guys, I remember the store. I remember the gas station. And there was a kid getting ready to steal something. And that boy read him the riot act. Don't you do it! He's a little bitty kid. Don't do it! You're going to go to jail! That kid disappeared just like that. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying this. Your child will never have to face that type of penalty we talked about tonight if you do your job and training them the way they should be today. The reason that we have so many that's on death row right now is somebody, somewhere, I guarantee it, missed some valuable training time. Don't miss that with your children. Take time to train your children. Now, I'm not saying if you don't train them, they're all going to wind up on death row. I'm not saying that. Well, preacher, yes, I know where they're going. Hey, don't give up. And they're five. No, don't give up. I'm saying tonight, it's important that you understand. God said, here's what has to happen. But before we ever get there, boy, if we would just spend time training here, then we would never even have to worry about getting there. And not just train your kids. Help other kids to have training too.